The word Christian means a follower of Jesus Christ or a disciple. When Jesus called the disciples, he gave them another name. He called them apostle. So Christian is both a student, a lifelong student of the Lord Jesus Christ, and a lifelong servant, representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. These two go together. And that's pretty much what James ends his letter. So let's read it together in James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for life-saving gospel that you have given to us, and we have it before us. Help us to understand what being a Christian is all about. Speak to us today, in Jesus' name. Amen. What exactly are we seeing here in these two verses? I believe there's two things. One is that there are two ways to live. Early on, James talked about two wisdom, and I have expounded on that. But here, James personalized these two ways. He talked about the way of truth, which is Jesus. He is also the life. So if you follow the way of truth, you will get to life. But there's another way here, and what James talked about is wandering off into your own way. Your own way. My own way. And that way is sin, and that way is death. So that is the first part that we observe here in this text. The second part that we observe here in this text is that you are your brother's keeper. Cain did not take that personally. He hated his brother and he killed his brother. But Jesus presented to us, and James here present to us, love your brother. And loving your brother, you will be able to bring your brother back if he goes away from the truth. And that's your job. So these are the two points in this passage that I was observe, and I'll be talking about that. Point number one. There are two ways to live. The way to live God presents to us is Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's the way. That's the truth. Okay, we all know that. The human heart, however, is prone to wander off. James said it very clearly here on verse 19. Your heart will lead you astray. The Bible talked about Adam and Eve went off to seek knowledge of good and evil. And we also see God speak through Isaiah in Isaiah 53:6, saying that each of us has turned to his own way. You don't follow me. I don't follow you. You turn your own way. It's like sheep that you find something here to eat, and once you finish this green grass, you look, and there's another there, and you go there, and there's another there, and then you just follow, and you just go on your own way. Even King David, which God pronounced that he is a man after my own heart. David himself make it very clear here in Psalm 119, verse 176, that I have gone astray as a sheep. So even if your heart is longing for God, you want to see God, you want to pursue God, deep down inside you, the true you will come out. And the true you will lead you astray. That is how you are. That's how I am. That's how we all are. So Jesus was right to say in the Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, that the whole humanity is like sheep without a shepherd. A sh- shepherd will bring the sheep back. But for the sheep, you will live to yourself. You will go your own way. Remember Babylon. Babylon is the concept that God wants to engrave in your head and engrave in your heart so that you always know Babylon stands for this. I will build a tower to the heaven. I will go as high as I want to go, and that is me, and that is what I want to do. That you can hear that in you speaking. I want to be this. I want to be the best. I want to be the greatest in whatever I do. Now, the second part of Babylon is this. I made a name for myself. When you wrap these two things up, it is called the idol of the heart. The image of the heart. You may not really bow down to an idol, a stone, a figure, and ask that figure to come and help you. But that's the idol. How do we know that is an idol God is talking about? Because in the Ten Commandments, the first commandment, God prohibited not only the idol, but the image. What is an image? An image is a picture. A place, a fantastic place that you wish it to be yours. You have that image. I have that image. Maybe the image is your wife. Oh, I want this beautiful wife. And she'd be this. And she'd be lovely. And she just build me up. And we just have life together. And it's just so glorious. Or a husband. Or family. Or a job, or a title, maybe a ministry even, a wonderful church. Maybe you want to build a church, and the church becomes your idol, and God no longer whom you seek. Our modern day idols or image is a fantastic thing we call dream, the American dream. My personal dream. Want to achieve this and that. And remember the words of David Foster Wallace. In the day-to-day trenches of adult life, there is actually no such thing as atheism. There is no such thing as not worshiping. Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship. And the compelling reason for maybe choosing some sort of God or spiritual type things to worship is that pretty much anything else you worship will eat you alive. If you worship money and things, if there are where you tap your real meaning in life, then you will never have enough, never feel you have enough. It is the truth. Worship your body and beauty and sexual allure, and you will always feel ugly. And when time and age starts showing, you will die a million deaths before they finally grieve you. Worship power. You will end up feeling weak and afraid, and you will never, ever, you will need ever more power over others to numb you to your own fear. Worship your intellect, being seen as smart, you will end up feeling stupid, fraud, always on the verge of being found out. See, idol is not a statue that you bow down to. Idol is the image that you foresee for yourself. I want to achieve this. This is the height that I want to get to. This is the beautiful things that I want to build for myself so that I have a name that I've been known of, Mr. So-and-so, such and such wonderful guys and girls and so on. That is the image, and God call it idol. We pursue our own path, go after our priority in life, and then we end up worshiping idols, our idols. To us, it may not be a big deal, but to God, we have sinned and gone astray onto a path that will lead ultimately to death. It is very easy to slip into our own path of life. You have been there. I've been there. You may still on that path. Time to come back. Because there's only one way that God know, that God planned. And that is the way of knowing Jesus. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Outside of Jesus, there's no life. There's no truth. There's no salvation. The second point I want to talk about here is that you are your brother's keeper. The problem we have in this generation is individualism. Each is the master of his own life, and each strives toward his own goal. We are obsessed with our freedom to live life the way we want it, the way we plan it. We don't want anyone to intrude into that, not your parents, not your spouse, not a member of the church. That makes it hard to practice brotherly love. But here, James said, no, you should open your heart so that the brothers and sisters in the church would speak to you. So as your pastor, I'd like to ask you, to beg you, to let down individualism, let down your guard. Allow other people to speak truth into your life. Because that is what a Christian is supposed to do. It may be your husband. It may be your wife. Or his brother and sister in the church. That God is using to speak to you. I want you to take that advice that is given to you by a brother believer in the church. And ask the Lord to reveal the truth to you, whether the advice that is given to you is coming from God. And if it is, take heed, take that advice, and change your way. I want to speak directly to children in the church. Please take your parental advice and other Christian advice very seriously. In the same way, take that advice and go to God and ask God to speak to you through that advice. I want to speak to the parents in the church here. I want you to never stop praying for your children. God has given them to you for you to care. Care for them as you care for the eyes, for your own eyes. Protect them with the sound advice from the Bible. Not your advice, but the advice from the Bible. And pray for them continually. Be awakened to the sound of any alarm and talk to your children. If there is any hint that they have gone astray from the truth, take it very seriously and bring them back. I admire the parents who come to pray on Wednesday and cry before God and ask other brothers and sisters in the church to pray for them. And we all should learn to be like those parents who come to church every Wednesday to pray. They only not pray for you, their children, but they also pray for you. Pray for everyone here in church. So keep doing that. Don't be ashamed to ask other people to pray for your children, for your loved one. Practicing that is doing what the Bible here teaches us to do, to be your brother's keeper. Brothers and sisters, we must not shy away from loving another member of the church. Treat each other like blood brothers and sisters. Watch over one another. If you see someone not coming to church or to your small group, and you have a relationship with that person, call him up. Hey, I didn't see you at church today. Are you busy? Are you been caught up with something? Can I pray for you? I hope to see you next week. Do that. Pastor can do that. Elders can do that. Please help one another doing that. You are your brother's keeper. Not only the pastors, not only the elders. You are. Each of you are your brother's keeper. The Bible says so. I didn't say that. The Bible said that. God said that to you and to me. If you are involved in children ministry, invest in the lives of the children. In youth ministry, invest in their lives. In a small group, come regularly. But don't be like those that in a small group in name only and never show up. Okay? Why? Because if you never show up, if they have a need, they will not call you because you're not accountable. You're not reliable. Your regular attendance to the group that you belong to prove to your brother and sister that you love them, you care for them, and they can count on you. That's why we ask you to come to church and be present at whatever meetings that the church call for, your group call for. No, don't just come to worship and lead worship today and next week disappear or 2 weeks down the road, we can't find you. Don't do that, because you do that, you just made yourself unavailable, unaccountable. You are not a brother's keeper to other people in the church. Because here, it said, if you bring someone back, you save that person from death. That's how important your presence is. That's how important your relationship with other members of the church is. Saving people, doing the actual thing that Jesus did on the cross. You don't have to die on the cross, but just come to the meeting. Be present, be accountable, maintain the relationship. Make yourself count in other people's lives. That's what Jesus is talking about. Some of you just feel like, oh, I'm so tired, so I don't go. Tiredness is not an excuse. Little one, Pastor Daniel, feel like he's dying, but he said, okay, I'm going to drag myself to church because there may be someone that in need of me. And surely he showed up and there's people said, please pray for me today. It's that kind of thing. Drag yourself out of bed. I'm so proud of Lou and other people who work on the graveyard shift. And they said, okay, they die with the people. But come home. Don't go to bed. Go to church first, and then go to bed later. That is the kind of commitment that God is asking us to do here. I'm so tired. I'm just getting from work, and you go, honey. And honey said, if you don't go, I don't go. Okay, then both of us just go to bed. Now that is heretical. That is not biblical living. I want to conclude by talking a little bit about Chi's death. She died Thursday morning of lupus complication, her kidneys dysfunction a couple of years ago because of that dreadful disease. And so she will be remembered, and we will celebrate her life this Thursday. She survived by her father and two sisters, nieces and nephews, and beyond those is you and me. So Lilo, Vadu's wife, has been her best friend since they joined our church here. Vadu and Lee visited her and care for her in the last 2.5 years that they have been here, more than anyone here in the church, more than me and my wife. She spent hours at a time with her in the hospital. They sang songs together a couple of days before she died. So Lilo has been Chi's brother's keeper, as James talked about here. Lee is a testimony to you and to me that, yes, we can be a brother's keeper. It is not easy, but it can be done. Each of us can be a brother's keeper to one person in the church. It would be wonderful on the day that you die that someone from the church would say, I can give the eulogy to this brother and sister because I know him and know her from the heart. Isn't that wonderful? Other than your brother, your real blood brother and sisters, but a member of the church can stand up and speak about you. I have played a small part in Chi's life because of Lee. She called me to help Chi to visit her in the hospital, to bring her from the hospital to talk to her. Last week, I got a chance to speak to her about the Lord Jesus making sure that her faith in God is strong. Each of us can play a part in another's life that way. And yes, also allow all the people to speak into your life, to be part of your life. Because we are created for relationship. Not only relationship with one another, as Jesus prayed, let them be one. But that oneness also is larger than that. Jesus said, Father, let them be one, as you and I are one. And that they are in us and then we are in them. Jesus is talking about a fellowship, a human fellowship with one another. And then through that fellowship, we also have fellowship with God. That's the first part of the message, isn't it? Not to go through your own way, but to go through the way that God prepared. You know, when you open your life up for another brother's... to live. And so the way, the path is narrower. But that narrower, that oneness with one another, that oneness with God is the oneness that will lead to life. And that's what Christianity is all about. The pursuit of God all the day of your life and the pursuit of serving one another all your life. Let's stand and pray. Father, thank you for speaking to us through your word, and it is powerful that we are here gathered together and know that you want us to have a wonderful relationship with you, intimacy with you. The creator of the universe is inviting us, sinners, to come so that we will have intimate relationship, to be in your glory, to gaze into the glory, the face of Jesus Christ, your Son, and to be in that fellowship with you. And to throw away our sins and throw away our needs and throw away even the image, the idols of our heart. Lord, help us to do that. Not only so, but you invite us into one another's life, to be part of one another's life. And by doing that, we become one. That's called love. Loving you and loving one another. Thank you. Bring us back here again so that we may learn from you as you speak to each and every one of us in our particular situation, so that we will grow to know you and to love you and love one another and be in one another's life. In Jesus' name, amen.